8:49 now. The number of newborns in South Korea fell again in September, according to government data released yesterday. About 26,100 babies were born in September, down 13.3% from a year earlier. The total fertility rate, the number of babies a woman is projected to have during her lifetime, fell to 1.05 in 2017, marking a record low, but we could see a new low this year. A figure of around 2.1 to 2.2 is needed, by the way, to maintain a consistent population. That shows how far we've come in the, what many people would say, is wrong direction. Now, on a related note, according to a recent internet keyword search, which analysed those keywords used on online communities and social media from January 2016 to September 2018, many South Koreans cited money as the biggest hurdle to either getting married or having children. Marriage is becoming less mentioned online. The keyword stands at 15th place in terms of social issues compared to 6th in 2014. Chung Hwang, independent legal researcher for LawQuant LLC, is here in the studio. Good morning.
Morning, Alex.
First of all, we might ask, what should we do about it? But also, why is the problem getting worse?
Right. I mean,
the government's spending money on the issue. It's not like the money's not coming in at that level.
Yeah, I mean, the government has spent about 80 trillion won in the last 10 years to dealing with low birth rate. But, you know, as you've cited the various statistics, the problem has been getting worse. The direction is definitely in the wrong direction. But on the other hand, you know, if you sort of look at from the young people's perspective in South Korea, I think it's a rational decision based on their personal future outlook. You know, they all want stable, well-paying jobs, affordable housing, and affordable public education. But none of those seems to be really attainable for many people in South Korea right now. So, you know, gimmicky government targeted spending just so that, you know, people might be encouraged to have more babies might not really work when the structurally people are not really, the young people are not really seeing their lifetime and saying that, hey, what's the chance of me getting a stable job, have a house to live in, and, you know, afford education for my children? Is, I mean, those three things, that doesn't look like a good chance for me. And, you know, young people are just sort of making rational choices for their lives.
What about those who argue we need to keep numbers down because the world as a whole is suffering from the threat of overpopulation?
Yeah, we don't really have to actually talk about the world at all. I mean, when Korea was at a population of about 30 million, 40 million in the 1970s, already, you know, there was a serious concern about overpopulation. And in fact, there was a very vigorous government campaign back then to say that, you know, each family should just have two children. This was during the 70s. And looking back, it seems like, wow, really? I mean, South Korea had a, you know, period like that. So, I mean, if the South Korean population, you know, right now is around 50 million, becomes the 40 million, you know, say 30, 40 years later, I don't think, you know, we'll have a big problem per se if the population is maintained. But I think the really big problem is going from current population of 50 million and going down to whatever stable rate that, you know, South Korea will end up with. And, you know, the transition period might be really painful, especially, you know, with a huge proportion of elderly population. How does South Korea society deals with this? And I don't think this, you know, South Korea has really come up to grips about, you know, dealing with the transition issues.
You know, to me, I feel what I witness around me, at least a couple of things. There is a change in personal expectations. People have a sort of level of expectation for their life, which they think they can't meet with marriage and having children, perhaps because of financial pressures. But also the second point is what I've said before on air, but not recently, the cult of the individual. People, you know, perhaps see this as their life and they're going to live it now. It's the sort of live for today culture.
Sure. I mean, that might have a, you know, factor in it. But at the same time, if you can have a, you know, stable family with a stable income, with, you know, affordable housing, you know, why wouldn't a lot of people just, you know, opt to have, you know, family life? You know,
I mean, I as a family man myself, I can agree more. But mm-hmm. I just sense that people see a lot of sacrifices that come with that, not only financial sacrifices.
Sure. I mean, the personal sacrifices are, you know, of note. But at the same time, you know, we as a society, South Korea sort of failed to make that choice a little easier. If not, you know, it's gotten a little harder. You know, the housing problem, you know, for example, you know, the government has looked at it as sort of a real estate speculation. I mean, I think we the government, for one, looking at the housing, will actually have to look at, some drastic solutions in terms of affordable, good public housing options. You could look around the world and see, some successful stories like Singapore, and sort of see, what can be done in South Korea on a much larger scale than, just a simple, targeted incentive approach we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, this might sound a bit rudimentary, but if you look at any form of life on the planet, unless they have a good habitat, they're not going to breed. Zookeepers around the world have faced this problem for a long time. And of course, human beings are far more complex than your average zoo animal. But it comes down to what you're saying there. Housing, for example. We've got to move away, don't we, from this expectation that parents are going to somehow provide either a large deposit or a way of buying a home for kids. But at the same time, we don't just have houses just to give away.
Well, in some ways, why not? I mean, we could, have, serious, big public housing projects where, we sort of rent out to the young people at really low rent. And, it's not really inconceivable that can be done. I mean, I think that the scale of the project is a little mind-boggling for the current policymakers. But I think given sort of where the population problems it's at, I think some radical thinking is needed.
Certainly radical discussions are needed. Maybe not enough of that's happening. Instead, we're talking about things like 100,000 won a month allowance or 2.5 million when you have a baby. That's just not going to cut it.
It just will not move the needle at all. I mean, if you're worried about housing and education and job, as you said, what is 100,000 won is going to do for those concerns?
Yeah. Going to cover a couple of takeaways for a family of four, perhaps?
Or, sit down and have a coffee and have a debate about these issues.
And of course, if you're really at that level of poverty, perhaps takeaways aren't on the radar anyway. But whatever your situation, 100,000 won a month is not going to cut it. Thank you very much. Jung Hwang, independent legal researcher with Law Quad LLC, helping us get up close today.
Thank you very much.
I think, if nothing else, we've learned the debate needs to intensify a little bit on that front. Thank you very much for your company today, though. We'll be back tomorrow, 7:05. Already Friday's coming around. We've got a big concert celebrating 10 years of TBS tomorrow. So we'll be building up to that. But your latest news headlines and Inside Korea next.